ESPN 97.5 KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station.
Anybody else have anything they want to share today?
Everybody ready?
This is the Charlie Polillo Show on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Presented by Tri-Eagle Energy, your born and raised Texas energy provider. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Charlie Polillo.
All right, second hour for a Wednesday. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours tomorrow. Happy football with the turkey, of course. With the holiday, we do our weekly college football preview right now as Phil Steele joins us. Number of games tomorrow, actually, but nothing that we're vitally going to address. Then Friday gets here, and oh boy, we'll hold off on the very best of Friday as it pertains to schools of interest around here. And then most of Saturday's stuff, is it a day of chalk, or do we get the one major upset to shuffle the deck? As we approach the playoff pairings a week from Sunday. Phil, in advance, happy Thanksgiving to you.
Happy Thanksgiving to you, Charlie.
Let me open with this. Alabama and Clemson are similar favorites, both about 25 points. If I can tell you we're going to get one of those mega shockers, would you take Auburn at Alabama or South Carolina at Clemson?
Neither's going to happen. I favor both favorites big, but I would go with Auburn just for the fact that it's the Iron Bowl. It's a rivalry game. And at least Auburn last year beat Alabama. You look at the last 2 years between Clemson and South Carolina. Clemson last year beat South Carolina 34-10. The previous year to that, they beat them 56-7. It hasn't really been close. But for the record, I think both teams win by over three touchdowns.
On the Tide, of course, is going to be very fascinating should Georgia beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. To me, Phil, on Clemson, unless multiple teams lose, right, it's the 2018 season, and the committee always says this is about just this season and this evaluation. I don't think that's true. Clemson has a three-year body of work that will factor into the mind somewhere. But honestly, compared to the other teams in the mix, if Clemson loses a game, doesn't Clemson have to be out? They cannot get in with one loss. They've not beaten a team ranked higher than number 16 in the country. The only ranked opponents Clemson has beaten is 16 NC State, and last week Boston College was 17. Close games to, at the time, unranked A&M, unranked Syracuse. Clemson has to go 13-0, does it not?
I think the odds are there. Now, if all of a sudden, let's say Michigan does not win the Big Ten, and Washington State doesn't win the Pac-12, then their odds definitely get better. But if Washington State wins their last two games impressively, Michigan wins their last two impressively, then I would have to say yes. I think those are, or maybe even in Oklahoma winning their last two games impressively.
Notre Dame at number three can basically, not officially, but clinch its spot. No one-loss conference champions taking a spot from Notre Dame. USC, it's been a bad season. Clay Helton's future up in the air. James Franklin's being rumored for that job. Is that true? If it comes open, Fighting Irish giving 10.5 or so.
That you heard?
Yeah. And Franklin was asked about it and got real uptight in a conference call setting. So I don't know if it was just somebody throwing it out there, but all Franklin had to do was say, there's nothing to it. He didn't say, I'm the coach at Penn State next season, period. And I get sometimes coaches have to lie. But anyway, Notre Dame giving 10.5, 11 to the Trojans.
Yeah, and Penn State's supposed to be his dream job. This game here, though, I mean, USC, you can make a case for USC in the fact they've got talent, they've got said where, they've got pretty good players on the defensive side of the ball. You look at their losses this year. Like the Arizona State game, they lost by 3. Cal, they led big at the half and should have led bigger. And last week, they blew the lead against UCLA. But now they're a 5-6 team. They're hearing about coaching changes. Got to be distracted. And Notre Dame is really a complete team. They run the football well. You look, Dexter Williams has come back. They're extremely efficient running the football. Ian Book throws the ball well, 72% completion, 17-6 ratio. They play great defense, both against the run and the pass, and they have excellent special teams. So you're looking at a complete Notre Dame team that knows they're one win away from the playoff. I like the Irish to win this one by double digits.
The game of the day in terms of tradition, if it's not Alabama-Auburn, depends on what part of the country you're from, but the stakes as a two-way proposition, it's fourth-ranked Michigan at number 10 Ohio State. Wolverines favored in Columbus. This is payoff time for Jim Harbaugh. Does he get it done?
I think he does. And, you know, you go back and look, Ohio State's won 15 of the last 17 in this rivalry. Urban Meyer's never been a home underdog. Well, Urban Meyer's never had a defense like the one he's got on the field this year. They've had top 10 defenses each of the last 2 years. Here's a surprising stat, Charlie. This year, Ohio State is allowing their opponents 9 yards above what they come in averaging. Now, that is number 77 in the country. That's not a top 10 defense. They give up big plays on the ground, big plays through the air, and that's not good. And Michigan's a team that their offense is getting better by the week. They run the ball with Higdon, a 1,000-yard rusher. Shea Patterson has done a great job at QB. So there's a lot of positives on Michigan's offense. Defensively, Michigan does have a defense, best defense in the country. And if you think they can't beat Ohio State, I mean, just go back 2 years ago to Columbus. Michigan had that thing in overtime, and Michigan fans will tell you they stopped JT Barrett on that fourth down play and actually won the game. Officials gave him a first down, and Ohio State ended up winning. But this year's Michigan team, a lot better than that one. This year's Ohio State team, nowhere near that one. I think Michigan gets it done on the road. I like the Wolverines by a touchdown or more.
Number five, Georgia. Interest rate rivalry with Georgia Tech. The Dogs giving 17, facing the triple option. Style points don't matter here. Georgia has to win both games, this one and then Alabama, to be in the playoff. It's pretty cut and dried there. What do you think, Dogs and Jackets?
Yeah, and I agree, style points don't matter, and it's a huge game on deck against Alabama. I mean, this is a Georgia team that was in the national championship game last year. I think they'll settle for nothing less than being in the national title game this year. They know they can play with Alabama. They did it last season, had them beat practically, and now they're taking on the option, as you mentioned. And Georgia's always done well against the option, but Georgia Tech's actually played well between the hedges. The visitor does extremely well in this series. So as much as Georgia Tech has been underwhelming in my mind, in fact, the last 2 weeks, just 304 and 305 yards offense, and Georgia's got the much better offense and an improving defense, I like Georgia to win the game, but I'd actually take the points in this one. With the Georgia Tech team who is playing their rivalry game, and Georgia's really got a much bigger game on deck.
Phil, the Pac-12 North title game as it works out. Biggest Apple Cup in a long time. Eighth-ranked Washington State favored inside a field goal over Chris Peterson in Washington. Washington State needs a pretty funky combination of results to work its way up toward the playoff. But, hey, when you're Washington State, just winning the Pac-12, going to the Rose Bowl would be a phenomenal, phenomenal achievement. What do you see in the Northwest?
Yeah, and 3 weeks ago, Charlie, I would have said I definitely like Washington to win this game. Better defense, more balanced offense, and the fact they dominate the series. Last year they won by 27 points. The previous year they won by 28 points. The previous year to that they won by 35, 18. It hasn't even been close. And each year it seems like Washington State comes in with something and Washington just dominates them. But I've been very impressed with Washington State these last 2 weeks. They just throttled Colorado on the road, throttled Arizona at home. They're playing in front of an intense home crowd, and their defense is actually playing better. They're holding opponents to 69 yards per game below their season average, which is number 30 in the country. Offensively, Gardner Minshew looks great. In fact, I'm a Heisman voter. I still have my ballot wide open. I'd be perfectly willing to vote for Minshew if he has two big games, and Tua and Kyler both struggle down the stretch. Then I think Minshew would have a chance at the Heisman. So here they are at home in the Apple Cup. I would lean with Washington State, even based on the fact that Washington's dominated so much recently.
Stay in the Pac-12, getting to the first of two different games, two different well, not even conferences, but the first one, it's Arizona State and Arizona. You mentioned Washington State. I don't care how good your offense is, or the offense you're facing, rather, is, it's tough to give up 55 points and a half. But Kevin Sumlin and Arizona were down to that challenge. They now have to win at home over the Sun Devils for bowl eligibility. ASU's the tiny favorite in Tucson.
Yeah, and Arizona State's got the better defense, so I like them for that. And they also have the triplets. I mean, they've got Eno Benjamin, a running back. Manny Wilkins having a great year, 18 touchdowns, just 4 interceptions. Then N'Keal Harry could be the top wide receiver for the draft. Now, Arizona's got some weapons on offense as well. J.J. Taylor, Khalil Tate. Don't really have a superstar receiver, but Sean Poindexter is good. But I just think Arizona State overall is a better team than Arizona is. I think they'll be able to handle the Territorial Cup. And I like Arizona State to go on the road and get the victory and knock Arizona out of a bowl.
All right, to the Sunshine State, Florida at Florida State, the Seminoles with the upset over Boston College almost felt like a pedigree result there. Florida State has gone to a bowl a record 36 consecutive seasons. They need to upset the Gators to get to 6-6 and be eligible. Florida favored by 6 at Tallahassee.
Yeah, and this is the second year in a row they've had a struggle to make a bowl. Last year they had to schedule ULM at the last minute and get the victory there to get the 6 wins, but then played well in the bowl game. Florida State is playing good defense this year. I would say they're a top 30 defense, and offensively, as much as they've struggled, their ground game's got going a little bit lately. And, I was surprised they put up 478 yards on Boston College. They could get about 70 of it on that late play touchdown. But Florida's a more complete team. They can run the ball with Scarlett, P. Ryan, Pierce. Franks is looking better at QB. He's got a 20-6 ratio. They have a much better offensive line. Florida's allowed 14 sacks. Florida State's allowed 31. And Florida may just have the fastest defense in the SEC. Now, they've had a couple games which surprised me, like Vanderbilt giving up 27 points like they did to Vandy. But overall, Florida's defense is still very good. And so I think the defenses are even offensive edge of Florida. I think they go on the road and get the win in that one.
One more before our little halftime, Phil. Central Florida tries to cap consecutive perfect regular seasons. I find it amusing that the committee threw UCF a bone vaulting it over Ohio State last night as if the Buckeyes beat Michigan. They're not going to go right back ahead of Central Florida. But at number 9, comfortable favorite, at South Florida.
Remember last year's game? That game was at UCF, and I thought South Florida outplayed UCF. South Florida actually had a 653-533-yard edge. Came up short on that kick return for a touchdown. But this year's South Florida team is not last year's. Last year's was a top-notch team. This year's squad comes in 7-4. They could be 4-7 right now. I mean, they got outgained by 176 yards by Georgia Tech, down 2 scores in the fourth quarter to both Illinois and Tulsa. East Carolina had a 24-9 first down edge on them. They barely got past UMass and Connecticut, giving those two teams some of their closest losses of the year. And now they've lost 4 in a row. They're struggling. UCF's gaining momentum by the week. Even though it's on the road, I like UCF to win this one by more than 2 touchdowns.
All right, coming back, part 2 with Phil. We have the Big 12. We have A&M, LSU. We have U of H, Memphis. And we'll even get in Rice one last time this season. Back half of our college football preview, pre-Thanksgiving edition with Phil Steele before diving into another slate of games. Phil, your information available in many forms. Give the rundown.
I appreciate that, Charlie. Head over to ESPN.com/Phil Steele, and that'll take you to my top 7 plays for the week. They're available on ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Also up there, get my Vegas power ratings. These are where Vegas has the top teams ranked. They differ greatly from the AP poll, so make sure you check that out today. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. Also, if you'd like to get my newsletter, Inside the Press Box, and get all 64 of this weekend's games, my computer forecast and my forecast, you just go to InsideThePressBox.com. You get the college and the NFL, normally $29.99. This week, just $9.99. You have to type in the code word TACKLE. That's TACKLE. We'll get you that. That's InsideThePressBox.com. And Friday morning, I will have the Phil Steele Plus tutorial up there for you. The free plays are hitting 68% winners the last 7 weeks, and it's absolutely free. That's PhilSteele.com Friday morning.
All right, Phil, Big 12, a bowl eligibility showdown. Texas Tech and Baylor, the Red Raiders, modest favorites between 5 and 6 teams.
Yeah, and, you know, it's at a neutral site, and I think Texas Tech is the better team right now. Baylor's done a very good job this year. In fact, when I talked to Coach Rule this spring, going over the team with them, he ended the conversation with the fact he thought they would get to a bowl game. I personally thought it was a long shot, but here they are, one win away from it. So I give him that opportunity, and he's done a great job getting there. But I just think Texas Tech is, when their A game is on, like when they played against Oklahoma, destroyed Kansas, destroyed Oklahoma State on the road, destroyed Houston, they're a very good team. Now, they've had a couple of games where they struggled, including last week, where they only had 11 first downs against Kansas State. But they usually bounce back pretty good after an off performance. I like Texas Tech to get the win over Baylor and get to a bowl game.
Last year, Phil, Kingsbury probably saved his job beating Texas. I would recommend he beat Baylor. Maybe the Bowman injury situation would be a saving grace, but that would be a bad loss to fade to 5-7 to finish. TCU also needing a win to get to 6-6 and bowl eligible. The Frogs, home dogs to Oklahoma State.
I think TCU could do it this week. Now, they're down to a third-string quarterback, Grayson Muhlstein. Coach Patterson calls him the Mule. He is a guy that knows the system very well. He's probably not going to throw for a ton of yards, but then again, in their bowl game against Oregon a few years back, they were down to their third-string quarterback making his first start, and he threw for over 300 yards, and TCU beat Oregon. TCU's got the much better defense, and they're at home playing for a bowl game, final home game for the seniors. Meanwhile, Oklahoma State has just played four grinders in a row. How much can they possibly have left in the tank? I mean, they played Texas to the wire, come out with a three-point win. Baylor to the wire, end up losing by four. Oklahoma, they blow the two-point conversion, lose by one. And then last week, sort of dead in the water, down two scores to West Virginia. They rally with two late scores and pull out a 45-41 win for an upset. Now they got to go on the road. They just clinched bowl eligibility last week. I like TCU to pull the upset there.
All right, with West Virginia blowing it late last week, the Texas Longhorns are in the Big 12 championship game unless they really botch it up at Kansas. The Jayhawks hung reasonably competitively with Oklahoma, Texas giving 15 in Lawrence.
Yeah, since Kansas fired their head coach, David Beatty, and let him stay on to coach the team, they've actually done pretty well. Took Kansas State to the wire and actually outplayed them at times in that game. And then Oklahoma, how about 40 points? Now, I know Oklahoma's defense isn't that good, but really, Kansas, 524 yards, 40 points, you wouldn't have expected that. So it's a Kansas team playing well. They got nothing to lose. They're at home. Texas will be playing tight. No, I like Texas here. I'm going to take Texas on the road. I think they're a better team offensively, defensively, naturally. And I do think they wrap up the Big 12 title game with a nice road win.
What's your immediate thought of Les Miles' chances at Kansas? It's a tough place to recruit to. The numbers you need in football.
Well, I don't think Kansas is going to win the Big 12 in the Les Miles era, but they're going to be a lot more competitive, and I think they'll start getting the bowl games. I believe the big name is going to be a big plus, and I think you could see a turnaround at Kansas where they start getting back to bowl games. Now, if you're thinking win Big 12 title, not going to happen, but other than that, I think he can get him back. I like the hire. I like it on both ends. Good for Miles to get back into coaching. Good for Kansas to get Les Miles.
You go back to Les Miles, Oklahoma State. He certainly recruited Big 12 territory. All right, now the big one, Friday night, Phil. Oklahoma and West Virginia, presumably, to see who plays Texas. The Sooners, zero wins this season against a ranked opponent. They played one, and they lost to Texas. Opportunities knocking. Sixth-ranked Oklahoma, West Virginia falling out of the top 10. Winner goes to Arlington, and the loser pouts. Oklahoma favored 7.5 it's crept to, huh? Or no, 2.5 I'm sorry.
No, I think it's like 2.5
Yeah, 2.5 I misread my own scribble.
Yeah, so it originally was like around picking. You know, surprisingly, I looked at my computer on this. I figured it would favor Oklahoma, and actually favors West Virginia, 48-46. So to think, you think back to KC and the Rams, a Monday night high-scoring game, you might just have that here. And all you have to do is look at Oklahoma's last three games. I mean, they got past Texas Tech by five as a big favorite. They got past Oklahoma State by one, and really Oklahoma State should have hit the two-point conversion. And then only beating Kansas by 15, they've been extremely disappointing their last three games and limp into this. And West Virginia, meanwhile, had been sort of dominant after blowing out TCU. They led Oklahoma State by 10 points in the fourth quarter and blew that game. Now they're back home. They've got the better defense. They're at home. Oklahoma's got the better offense, but West Virginia's isn't bad. I can make a case for West Virginia here, but you just think somehow, some way, Oklahoma wins and gets that Big 12 title game. But right now, in my mind, it is a toss-up type of game.
Well, not so much for Mountaineer fans, but a Texas-Oklahoma Big 12 title rematch would be a lot of fun around here. To Memphis and the University of Houston, Phil, to decide the American West and see who gets a shot at Central Florida. Cougars may get back Ed Oliver. But frankly, if they could have one or the other, I think it's De'Ara King you'd rather have than Ed Oliver. They will not have De'Ara King. Obviously, that factors into Memphis, which is surging late, being favored by 7 over the Cougars.
Yeah, and just what you I agree with you 100% on that statement, Charlie, because, you know, even if Ed Oliver decides he wants to play in this game, do you really think he's going to go all out for the entire game? I don't think so. He's got way too much to risk. And Houston's defense, even with Ed Oliver, has not been special this year. They're giving opponents 89 yards per game above their season average. That's number 121 in the country right now. Offensively, that is a massive loss. I mean, I enjoyed watching De'Ara King all year. This is a guy that's got 36 touchdown passes, 14 rushing touchdowns. That's 50 touchdowns. He is electric. He is exciting. And now they go to Clayton Tune. Clayton's hitting 47% of his passes this year. I think it's a big drop-off there. And meanwhile, as you mentioned, Memphis surging. They had a couple losses earlier. They've got the electric Daryl Henderson at running back, 8.7 yards per carry. Brady White at quarterback with a 24-5 ratio, a better defense. They're 27-5 in the Liberty Bowl, and they still have a shot at the American Conference. I'm going to go with Memphis at home by more than 7 in this one.
Yeah, Memphis, what, 31-30, I think it lost to Central Florida?
Yeah, and they had that game. They led most of the game.
30-17, I think, and then UCF scored the last couple touchdowns to pull it out. Rice's just nightmarish season finally ends. They played at Hawaii, so they have a 13th game, which presumably means a 12th loss. Or, Phil, does Rice rise up at home and upset Old Dominion?
I'm going to go with ODU. Rice, I did pick Rice last week plus the points. Remember, Charlie?
I do.
Yeah, how about that? And they covered last week. But this ODU team is also playing well down the stretch. Blake LaRusse, since he got inserted against Virginia Tech, hitting 64% with an 18-8 ratio. Definitely outdoes Sean Stankovic. He's got a 10-10 ratio this year. They've got the run game. The defenses are fairly close, but ODU's playing better. They can win. This will be their fourth win in the last five games of the season, giving some momentum to next year. I'm going to have to go with ODU in this one.
Understandably. All right, that leaves us Texas A&M and LSU. Phil, I think that as a long-term hire and play, Jimbo Fisher is a substantial upgrade over Kevin Sumlin. But if the Aggies do not win this game, it's a 7-5 finish. Their biggest win was over Kentucky, which I know was 13th ranked at the time. But, I mean, an overtime win at home over Kentucky, whoop-de-doo, to finish 7-5, even with the strength of schedule. I think this is a hang-your-hat-on victory. Big recruiting class coming in, so on and so forth. A&M actually a small favorite. LSU, the only two-loss team with a snowball's chance you-know-where at the playoff. I mean, it's a virtual zero chance. Nevertheless, the Tigers at number 7, they'll take the field frothily, I presume. What do you think of Kyle Field?
Yeah, I don't understand why LSU's up there at number 7 because they really have no chance of making the playoffs in my mind. But when I look at this game, Charlie, I mean, LSU has an outstanding defense, right? They're giving up 131 yards per game on the ground. They're holding opponents to 88 yards per game below their season average. We all know LSU's all about defense. Well, guess what? Texas A&M's actually got better stats. They only allow 81 yards per game on the ground. They hold their opponents to 94 yards below their season average. And they've taken on an even tougher schedule. I mean, they played Alabama and Clemson. This is a very good A&M team. And offensively, while the defenses are almost dead even, offensively, a huge edge to A&M. They got Travion Williams, Kellen Mond. They're averaging about 81 yards per game, more than LSU is. Special teams, I rate A&M the number 4 special teams in the country this year. My average game grades have Texas A&M, the number 10 team in the country, and LSU number 21. A&M should be favored in this game. It's at night. It's at Kyle Field. It's an A&M team that's much better than its record right now. I like the Aggies to finish off the season with a solid victory.
All right, the Aggs, hope you're on point with that one. Phil, to wrap it up before we all go eat tomorrow, why don't you highlight where to be found outside this program?
You're a heck of a guy, Charlie. Once again, head over to ESPN.com/Phil Steele when you go there. I actually have my top 7 picks up for you tomorrow. Just sent the article in today, so it'll be up tomorrow. And then also you can get my Vegas power ratings. This is where Vegas ranks the teams, and it's a big difference from the AP. That's ESPN.com/Phil Steele. And head over to InsideThePressBox.com right now. Pick up this week's newsletter. Get my computer's forecast on every game. Get my forecast. 64 college games. Get all the NFL games. $9.99 when you enter the code word TACKLE. That's TACKLE at InsideThePressBox.com. And finally, Friday morning, check out Phil Steele Plus for the Phil Steele Plus Tour with selections. These plays, once again, last week went 5-2, now 38-17-3, given away free every Friday morning at philsteele.com.
All right, Phil, one last quick pick before I let you go. In an odd decree in the Steele household, you only get one side tomorrow with your turkey. What is your one side in a one-side-only Thanksgiving Day dinner?
It's something I would eat as my main meal, Charlie, and that is the stuff. My mom's stuffing. There's no doubt about it. I don't even need turkey. Just give me a big plate of my mom's stuffing, and I'm good to go. Don't need the rest of the whole dinner. So it's a slam dunk for me.
Sounds like an unassailable choice. All right, it's just a tremendous slate of games, of course, this weekend of the year, every year. Enjoy it all, Phil, and we'll get back on schedule next week.
Sounds great, Charlie. Happy Thanksgiving to you and yours.
Phil Steele, our Wednesday this week college football preview. Break to catch up upon, couple segments to go. He did say his mom's stuffing, so I can't knock that as a choice. And in the end, it's an individual choice. But the true correct answer is sweet potato casserole because it covers side. It's actually healthy until you glop it up with brown sugar and marshmallows and everything like that. But it also kind of straddles dessert, too. Tyler, you have one? We're late to the break, but as if that ever happens. You only get one side, which would be criminally unfair. I like stuffing.
You didn't rule out that you couldn't have dessert, so I'm going with stuffing.
Yeah. If I was stuffing only, though, I'd want dark meat, the risk of white meat being a little drier, so that with the stuffing.
And you can't have apples and walnuts in the stuffing either. That's
definitely no walnuts. And I think I throw in with the raisins.
Yeah, no.
It's just traditional stuff.
I kind of prefer stovetop stuffing.
I have no objection to stovetop. It's snobbery. People who have stovetop.
Exactly.
Is it that different? I mean, if it's mom's stuffing, as Phil alluded to, major props, full respect. But as if it's stovetop stuffing is more like stuffing than the potato flakes are to mashed potatoes.
Exactly. And then if there's gravy involved, I'm all about it.
And the rules are going to have to be broken somewhere because cranberry sauce is a must. I think that's either you really like it or it's bitter. I want no part of it. I like cranberry sauce. So there you have it. Our Thanksgiving Day side picks.